I stand all amazed at the love Jesus offers me, confused at the grace that so fully he proffers me. I tremble to know that for me he was crucified, that for me a sinner he suffered, he bled and died. Oh, it is wonderful that he should care for me enough to die for me. Oh, it is wonderful, wonderful to me.
Welcome to the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixton, and this is episode numero 24. 24. And it's one where we're going to talk about an interesting principle of seeing things from two sides. And we've kind of been talking about it the whole time, but we're going to drill down to it. It's going to be fascinating and enlightening and just the best podcast episode you've heard yet. Okay. So this is I Stand All Amazed. It's a well-known hymn written by Charles H. Gabriel, 1856 to 1932 is when he lived. Not sure which of those years he wrote it, but it's a very popular one. It's got a lot of harmonies in it that, well, the harmonies are in the arrangement, right? Not talking about the melody. The melody is just the... The melody's fine. The arrangement that I'm familiar with, and maybe I don't know what how he arranged it, but it's got a lot of harmonies in it that I would maybe change. That's true of a lot of hymns for me. I have kind of a, I don't know what's wrong with my ear, but I hear certain things that sound good to me and certain things that don't. And a lot of things, including a lot of hymns, a lot of kind of traditional harmonic music is just full of harmonies that I don't like as much. And I'm not sure how to explain that, but for example, the sixths. That right there is a sixth. Right? Sixths are objectionable to my ear a lot of times. I don't like them. I don't know why. It's just my ear. So I take that out. If I play the four chord here, that's the four chord, then it turns into the third, not a sixth. One, two, three, four, five, six. That's icky to me. But this is okay. It's the third of the four, right? So I just kind of go through this whole arrangement, and wherever there's a sixth, I change it so it's not a sixth anymore. Wherever there's a seventh, I kind of take it out. Where's the seventh? That's a seventh. Right there. It's not in the melody, but I just take it out. And instead of having that seventh in there, I do this. Third and the fourth together to me sound good. When it's on the five chord, at least. And also when it's on this chord here, this is the two chord, major two. Third. The regular arrangement would definitely have a seventh there. Which is okay, but man, it's just too much for me doing it all the time. So I take them out sometimes, and in this arrangement I did. da 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 da. How do I explain this? The arrangement I'm familiar with doesn't bother me so much, this whole second part so much, but I did change it. Like, this is a suspended chord, right? It's the fifth, it's the fourth, that's the third. Okay, anyway, that's my arrangement. I was asked to do a musical number in church, as we would do in a worship service, and so it's tried to keep it reverent, of course. It's a very sacred song. The subject is the Savior and his sacrifice for us. And so, yeah, that's it. I stand all amazed. Welcome here. Okay, as promised, I'm going to tell you about these two ways of looking at things. Before I do that, I just want to touch on a point in our last podcast. We talked about, and I feel like I was feeling out the idea that anxiety and depression and sin are tied. I was feeling that out, right? I was seeing if that was the case, I would say. And I hope I didn't go too far in my certainty that it was, because I feel like I couldn't quite feel good about that prospect. I couldn't quite feel right about it. It didn't feel right to me. And I feel like the answer for me in my life for sure is that I need not to worry about that. I need not to think that, you know, I'm sinning if I am anxious or I'm depressed, even though, you know, the Lord does say, doubt not, fear not. He says that. We're not supposed to doubt. We're not supposed to fear. But maybe there are qualifications on that, or maybe I don't know what to say about that. And that's okay. I just want you to know that I feel like the right answer right now is not to go down that road. And so if it's not right for me, it's not right for us, it's probably not right for you. You follow? So I just don't want you to think that you're doing something wrong if you are depressed or you're anxious. Okay? I don't feel like that's the right thing to think. I don't think your Father in heaven would have you think that. So let's not. Let's back away from that. Okay? Can we agree on that? And I'm sorry if I went too far in that direction or did anything to lead anybody in the wrong direction. I hope I didn't do too much damage. Okay. Next point. Thank you for coming with me on that. This is a good point for a musical break, right? So, what am I going to play for the musical break? I already played that song. It's not that good. Up here. I feel like I quite have it. Anyway, all right, that was our musical break, and let's go back to this next point. So, did this just happen, or did heaven intervene? This is from Wednesday, May 6th, 2020. happens to be my kid's birthday. I was working on something at work, a network communication issue, and it was not going well. And I found myself, as has happened before, found myself saying a little prayer to heaven, okay, that things would work out. Well, as it happened, we had a guy come in, take a look at things, tighten up some connections and whatnot, and in the end, it all worked. And I said a little prayer of thanks, which you're supposed to do, but I wasn't sure in my mind. I was like, well, wait a minute. Did God intervene, or did that just happen? And I didn't need his help. See how silly that sounds to say that? You don't need his help. But it seems like there's two ways of looking at a situation like that. And I remember asking that question as a younger lad. There's this thing where you look at things from one side and it's all caused by God. You look at it from the other side and there is a natural explanation. Right? You can think of examples, right? Think of the creation of the earth. That's a good example to me. It's a very obvious one because looked at it from one side, the scriptures are very clear who created the earth. It's a good example of how you can look at something from one direction and it was all done by God, and from the other direction, and you don't need that part of the explanation. There's a natural explanation for it. Wouldn't that apply to any miracle that's ever happened? And you can say, well, I mean, something like the parting of the Red Sea, there's no natural explanation for that, so it was obviously a miracle. But you know what? I bet you that when all is said and done, we'll be able to explain that in a natural way, scientifically. You bet me? What about, you know, fire coming out of heaven, or Jesus turning water into wine, or curing people, any of those things? When all is said and done, don't you think there's going to be a natural explanation? I kind of think so. But that is not to say that they're not miracles. Can you follow me there? Are we okay saying that? Okay. If we can move on from that, then hopefully we can. Hopefully that's okay. But look at depression and anxiety. Are depression and anxiety lies, like we talked about? Or do they have a natural explanation? Are they a spiritual thing, or are they a natural thing? And isn't it going to be the same as the way the earth was created? Or I don't know if I want to say the way it was created, but who created it and how it was, I don't even know how to say it, because we know Heavenly Father did it. God did it. Jehovah did it. But the more we find out, the more we learn that there's a natural explanation for all of it. All of it that we've found so far, and I'm sure people are going to say, well, there's not a natural explanation for this part. And so they're going to be like, yeah, see, so it was a miracle. But I promise you, we are going to find a natural explanation for whatever part you think is unexplainable. It's all going to be explainable by natural means. Doesn't the Lord work by natural means? What if he works by natural means? Does that mean he doesn't work? Because he works by natural means? No. It means he works by natural means. Okay. Depression and anxiety. Are they lies? Yes, they are. I'm willing to stand by that. I believe that. I feel that strongly. I have no doubt about that in my mind, that they are and they come from the Father of all lies, and it's a spiritual thing. But do depression and anxiety involve brain chemicals? Is there a natural explanation for depression and anxiety? Brain chemicals or brain waves or genes? I don't know what else. coming from the natural side. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so which is it, you want to say? Surely it's both. Surely it's like the creation of the earth, right? Okay. I think I've made my point. So, in this analogous way, I want to propose that depression and anxiety and everything else, you know, multiple personality disorders might be in there, and schizophrenia and whatever else you want to put in there, but emotional stuff is both a thing of the spirit and a natural thing. You have both aspects to them. The creation of the earth, by the way, happened spiritually, was a spiritual act, and then it kind of happened naturally. Or at least that's how I think of it. But it was created spiritually, and then after that, it became naturally. Does that mean it was planned and kind of whatever, and then it, because of those plans, it was able to happen as a natural, according to laws and everything? Maybe, something like that. How does that relate to depression and anxiety? Well, there's the self-deception, the going against the light. Maybe I'm tangling up with stuff I don't want to right here. There's the lie part of it, and there's the natural part of it. Anyway, I guess that's as far as I'm prepared and willing to go at this moment. All right, that was a fun podcast, right? So, another thing that happens with my music is that I do a lot of parallel fifths. Those are parallel fifths. And that's a no-no. That's bad in harmonic circles. It's not just a circle. It's like the whole field of music teaching in our days is like you can't do a parallel fifth or you're cast out or something. I don't know. Maybe my feelings are too strong about this, but Lisa Arrington has no problem with parallel fifths. I have no problem with parallel fifths. You know, within reason, to me, you just got to go by your ear. Whatever sounds good to you. And these rules about what to do and what not to do can be helpful. I mean, I have my little rules or whatever, but really it just comes down to what you hear, right? What sounds good to you. And it's objectionable to me when somebody says that something can't be done because that's the rule. It's like it's got to come down to it can't be done because it doesn't sound good. And then it doesn't sound good to you or to me or to Mozart or to Bach or to Beethoven or to who? Okay. Yeah. At least I can find something to be opinionated about in this podcast, right? Well, it's been great. It's been grand. As a closer, I'm going to play for you the recorded version that I did with my daughters, just on video or whatever. The audio that we recorded when we videoed it. So it's not super professional or whatever, but it's okay and it's fun. It's nice. So enjoy this. I stand all amazed. This is the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixton. This is episode 24, and have a great day.
See you. much love.